Friends, I'm turning this morning to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and I'm reading the first two verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And my title for this morning's gospel is The Blessed Hand of Christ. The Blessed Hand of Christ. Friend, there's a little digression. Just to remind you, I was doing a series in Romans, the gospel themes in Romans. But I had to digress to deal with this topic because of certain questions that have come my way for some time now. For the past, since my last sermon, I've been to some funerals and some other gatherings, and I've seen some questions. And I think I have to come here. So we are on Psalm 23 today. And our title, as I've said, is The Blessed Hand of Christ. I'm sure most of you know that this psalm is the most familiar passage in the Bible. Psalm 23. Children are encouraged to memorize. In all the scriptures, this is the one that everybody is encouraged to memorize. And I'm sure most of you are very familiar with Psalm 23. It is a psalm for the sick person in the sick room. It is also dear to the hearts of those even in deathbeds, those who are at the point of death. This psalm becomes very encouraging. And I've read so many books of many Christians who cited this psalm on their deathbed. And it's very, 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 it's a blessing to be able to quote this psalm on your deathbed. I remember I said to you the other day when I went to visit a sister from TMBC at 37, and she was on the point of death. Well, she didn't quote this particular psalm. But he says something like, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And for her to quote that at that time shows the level of her trust in Christ all her life. At that time that he was going to die, he was able to quote this. And friends, let's pray that we also have the same thing when that time comes. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So it is the psalm of both for the children and of old age as well. Arthur Pink, in one of his Puritan audios, quoted this psalm. What he said is that Psalm 23 reminds us that in life or in death, in times of plenty or want, God is good and worthy of our trust. He goes on to say, the psalm uses the metaphor of a shepherd's care for his sheep to describe the wisdom, strength, and kindness of our God. Then he says, it gives voice to the sheep who are always eager to share what they know to be true. That staying close to the shepherd is always the safe place to be. For there can be nowhere he leads us that does not in the end result in that which will be good for his flock. And okay, and you know, may say, may the Psalm 23 and you be not so, and you can't say. Now, may the catch him say, Nanka may yet seriously be a Romans. Your first series, Romans 1, then Romans 2. We're going to go to Romans 3. Now, if you that's how you see, and then my call in the baby, and I'm a choir, questions and go for this summoning, you know. Mammy, imagine say, make treat this as a gospel. Because people don't see any gospel, especially from the Old Testament. But this is a gospel, as we are going to see. And I make us say, a psalm be a. Your empire in our will be outside the Barbara, see, Psalm 23. So the old book which you can with three. nipa bebree etimi ka esua aka e sam nipa bebree timi ko tu e sam ma empara e sam ma empenimfo e sam ma obi a oyare da yare paso na e sam to ma obi a oda owu paso nko na meka se nipa bebree a maka e obusu no on ebewu no sa sam we na no mo e kan na meka se e be nhira se oda owu paso na obetimi akai sa sam yi e be che de owu ko e be che de odo mu to no so abira na we wi ase. It is very, very encouraging. And I'm because Ruby Efeno, as I think, I'm sure say, many of you know him, he's probably known for his book on sanctification. And he quoted this. Or say, Psalm 23, no, ekaien, uwuni, enkwa. Emra, yewo bebre, eni bra, yewo ahuhim. Oyankupon, eye, emayen, nesesi, eye, ni tunusu. No, see, Sam no, or fa Yankopon say, oh, yeah, Ugankafo said the Indian can with him, my own. Now, Ugankafo, so no, or Henny Ninyanso. It's the Amayo Yankopon, Ninyan San, Nahuo Din, any ne papaye, ah, or a demaye. It's the Ojese Emma Ugayano. I will lose a new ra in the chino, Emmanuel, I want to sort the beer with him, say. So, obey new ra and Kuan dia. But he knows he's safe once he's closer to his the shepherd. Yesterday, when we were coming from Cape Coast, we saw one of these Fulani boys, a very young boy, about four of them. And you want to see the way this guy was dressed with the Cadillac stripe at the back here. And some other things that he's fully prepared to defend and to attack for the sheep, for the cattle. And it gave me a picture of who Christ is to us. See how the guy was armed because he lives with the cattle in the bush. And anything at all can happen. Animals, other wild animals can attack the cattle. People will attempt to steal some. And this young man is prepared to fight to keep the cattle safe. And that's how Christ is to us. That is why he said, nowhere he leaves us that does not in the end result in that which is good for him. But being one man, you have to be far. And yet, am I? Now, I want us to take all these words one by one to digest and analyze and know exactly what it means for all of us. Why I'm saying this can be a gospel message. First, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And he goes on to say that because of him, I have all I need. Remember one thing. The man who wrote this psalm is David. And David was a very wealthy person. Talk of anything in this world that you can think about. David had it. And why is he saying that he shall not want? He didn't say because I'm so wealthy. Because I'm powerful. Because I'm a man of God's own heart. So I shall not want. He said, because the Lord is my shepherd. So it tells you that there's nothing in this world that can be compared to having a relationship with God. No situation will you be in this world that can be equal to you being equal, you being in God's radar, having your sins forgiven you, having access to the throne of God. Nothing can be compared to that. That's what David is trying to point here. Because he was a rich person. When you talk about money, anything that you can talk about, David had them. And yet, he said it's not because of those things that he will have no one, but because the Lord is his shepherd. And it's something that we should think deeply about it. In the New Testament, Christ reveals himself as the good shepherd of Psalm 23. Christ referred to this psalm as he being the good shepherd. And we also saw at the graveside of Lazarus, when they say the shortest verse in the Bible, and what is it? And Jesus wept. Jesus wept at the graveside of Lazarus. We see that in John chapter 11, verse 35. So, it shows you that even in death, you see, if you become a Christian, you don't even fear death. Because here he says that even in death, in the valley of the shadow of death, he will be with you. The reason why we fear death is because we don't know where we are going. But if you really know where you are going, you will never fear death. Death is just like a passing on. That's why Christ refers to death as sleeping. He calls death, he sleeps. The way we sleep and wake up, the way we don't see anything when we are asleep, and the next time we see that we are up, that's how it is for a Christian. You die, the light of this world goes off, and the light of the next world opens, and you are going to a better place. If you are a Christian, if you are not just a churchgoer, if you are completely sure that your heart has been changed, all these things come only through conversion. You can never apply this to yourself if you are not converted. You must be converted to be able to apply this to yourself. In so many places, people quote the scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. All these things. But is he your God? Is he your Christ? You have to know that your heart has been changed. You have been converted before you can apply this to your life. Otherwise, like I always say, you are a creature of God. You are not a child of God. So you can't apply this thing to yourself. You can only apply it to yourself when you know that you are born again. Completely, truly born again. Not by words. Not just going to stand before a pastor and say after me, and you say it and you say you are converted. No. It's a proper a change of your heart that you yourself can feel. That if I die today, I'm going to where Christ is. When you are in that state, that is where you can say all these things can apply to your life. The American say, yes, so I can or New Testament say on any four papa. Why did he say a good shepherd? But not just a shepherd. It means they are good and bad shepherds. So he said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd will care for his flock. He will never run away when there's trouble. That's why I was giving the example of this young guy I saw yesterday. He was fully dressed to meet anything that comes their way. And that's how Christ is to us. Those so-called prophets who are there saying that they are guiding people, they can never guide anybody. They will run away when there's trouble. And we saw it during the time of COVID. They never saw it coming. They couldn't do anything about it. And yet people still go to them as their hope, their trust, my prophet, my destiny. No. You can never. That's what Christ is calling the good shepherd and the bad shepherd. They are bad shepherds. All those who say they are prophets and they are guiding people and leading them, they're leading them astray. So they are bad shepherds. The American said, yes, I can say only of your four papani. Now, we can say, didn't you know, papani? No one can say, me, you're four keke. And she said, you walk your four papa, and you walk your four, and you're in the cray. Now, we can say, you're in the cray, and you'll be also or your prophet. Ah, I'm in the cray, and you're in the cray. So, say, be here, and be in the honor of the cray. We said, so far, and I said, the prophet, you're Hong Kong, and you're in the cray. That prophet, now, can I say, now, don't know, I'm a nearby, we're going to get you, or no, no, any problem to solve. And I make us a COVID, everybody, say, no, me, now, ho. And people were dying in their churches. In the first place, no one who said Eba, and so much Nanya won't hear. She had it now doing the Matuno. No one who went into the air, or what control, or what we are seeing in that control, or any issue. Or no, the good shepherd. It knows, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd will never run away. He will fight and save his people. We'll see a lot of them now. And there's another thing that we must take note. You see, he didn't just say the Lord is a shepherd, which we have been through, but he said the Lord is my shepherd. That's what I was saying. Are you converted? Is he your shepherd? When you go to Romans 8, as I was quoting, if God be with us, who can be against us? People have written them in their cars, in their shops and so on. But is God with them? Is it true that God is with them? Or do they think because God created them, they can apply this to themselves? No. It applies to converted people. People who are in God's radar. People that God himself has called and changed their hearts. Because you can never go to a holy, holy God with the unchanged heart. We were born in sin because of Adam. Not until our hearts are changed, we have no access to God. We can only have access to God through Christ. That's why he came to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Now, as I'm going on, I'll quote another one from the same Pink again. He said, because of what the shepherd has done for his sheep, death does not win. Even though for now we stand in the valley of its dark shadow, and often like Jesus, like I quoted, weep at the graveside, feeling as though the hole in our heart inside is bigger than the hole in the earth in front of us. Even though in this world we all fear death, we all fear of the unknown, we don't know what is going to happen. But if your shepherd is around you, you fear nothing. So, as I said, the shepherd comes, the Lord is my shepherd, as he said, is like a homely name for our God. And I've described the shepherds, how they are, especially in the Far East. Mountains and valleys and big rivers, and they roam all over to feed their flock, and they are ready to fight for them. So let's go to the other verse. Then he said, I shall not want. That because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's not said, Ruadi ye bidwa me pointi no. Di bi kwiri in yame. And yes, I don't know. Ruadi ye bidwa me kwiri in yame. It's not said, Ruadi ye bidwa me pointi no. Di bi a in yame. I shall not want. Why would he not want? As I quoted Luke, the rich fool, he has so much habit, and he decided to extend his barn and then bring him more habit so that he will have full house, that he can now relax, sit down and just look at life, because everything is there for him. Now what did Christ tell this man? He called him a fool. He called him a fool. Pastor was talking about this yesterday. If you look at it, say, what wrong did the man do? Everybody wants a big harvest, isn't it? So if the man had a big harvest and a bigger harvest and a bigger harvest, and now he can store so many goods and then relax and go through life, he didn't go to steal anybody's thing. So what is wrong with that statement? Why was Christ calling him a fool? Is because he said, this day I'm taking your life from you. He valued those things more than life, forgetting that without life, those things are nothing. That is why Christ said, the kingdom of God is a person finding a pearl of great value and selling all that he has to buy that land because of what is there. If you spend your entire life in poverty, and you know you have access to God, it is the best decision than to gain the whole world and to lose your soul. I know David can say, I shall not want creating him. If he said, but you have now or any grand fortune or creating him, one can say, the near man or waiting. And I make us say, oh, we'll be our account after maybe our Bible. Christ can say, well, you can say, we'll be a new communion, a baby brain. Now, although we can't home or share or tray, maybe or didn't name a new man, you'll be bringing a year, man, so I feel it. I hand my man, I feel the bit in that chassis. No matter last week, no matter we have said the echo. He said, may have a home in Korea, maybe. And yet, or in the home of ground, the or man have a snipe by the ground or minimum. Or no, if he said, Sunny man, I want you to know. If we have to know, and one. Yes, can you say, a day, I made you quite a few home. Now, but share the obedient Sunny man, I woke up. It's way a chair said, we are in one bone and young. Not only said that should make heaven, I am more important. That's a word, and you will say, we are to him. Now, who said that you are over here? This is the point he's trying to make here. So, because the Lord is his shepherd, he said, I shall not want. You can't say because of you have a good portion of money, which is laid up for your own age. You can pass so much money. Look at our politicians. Packing up so much money, they think once they pack those monies, that will be it. Let's see what will happen if that money can buy them life. People don't think of these things. They think of here, now, and then. And this is a big lesson for us, especially you, the young people. Solomon said, remember your creator in your youthful days before the bad days come. Kayobofu wa umranti brim and sana da balinaba. For the Bible, the wisest man to say this, it means that there will be daboni. Solomon, or say Kaiobofu or Nancy Bimas, not daboni, but not just daboni or hamper. Daboni, any day. A bedroom, maybe you can't even come to church. You can't walk to church. And maybe it may be difficult for you to humble yourself and become, because Christ said, unless you become as humble as a child, you can never enter into the kingdom of God. A bedroom, maybe, you know, a bedroom, you got to be humble. Look at these rich people. You think that they can pack their luxurious cars and walk on the road to spread the word of God? You think they can do that? They can never do that. They are so rich, they are so powerful, they are so famous. They can't even walk on the street just by themselves. But me and you can pick our Bibles, take our trust, and go and preach to people. Who would God bless? Is it those expensive cars, houses, and they can't even move out on their own? Are they the one that God will bless? Or we who can go and preach the word of God? So think about this. It is much more important to have God as your shepherd than worldly things as your trust and as your hope. They will lead to nothing. So he says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It means when we have God, we have everything. There's nothing that we may ever need that he cannot give us. And friends, personally, I can testify to this. God will not give, because God knows if he gives you so much money, so much wealth, it will be a hindrance. It is true. Nobody can handle. That's why I say you can't handle mammon and God. You love one and hate the other. But know that if God is your shepherd, everything that you need in this world is available. But will be given to you at the right time. He won't give you so much in abundance that you look at your bank account, it's so fat, you go to your house, money is packed in drawers and so on. No. They are there. But you receive it by faith. Whenever you surely and sincerely need, God will make it available. That's why he said, I shall not want, because the Lord is my shepherd. Now he goes on to say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. The word pastures here refers to nourishment. Because, you know, David, they were writing from the eastern area there, where sometimes the land can be so dry and you can't find pasture anywhere. But he said he will lead me into a place where there's green pastures, where they will have enough food to eat and enough to drink. Who will lead him? It is the Lord who will lead him. Because it is the Lord who knows where there's green pastures. It is the Lord who knows where there's dangers, where there are pitfalls, where there are so many things that can endanger you. And he leads you. It's the same thing that he leads us in this world. In the evening, we'll be looking at how God leads us and protects us on our way to heaven. The same way as he did for the people of Israel on their way from Egypt to Canaan. We are in the same process. We are in the same wilderness. He leads us. And he knows where to pass. In those times, they had the pillar of fire and the pillar of the cloud to be leading them. But wherever the pillar passes, that is where they must go. When it stops, they stop. That's how God guides us. That's how he protects us. The mechanism said, Nyankopon, the Omena Udi Anim Ewe Yasim said, they don't have phones to 18 in Yanim or Irem. On will name Bebia, maybe a minus to be at Tram Nama, a Tokubi da Hautoma, to be a Ubu, and I said, Bebia will get soon a video or home, meaning now Yankopon will name. And also will name Bebia or Rofabania in Suano, Ubania Ebian. The same thing, if you say or dear Nemon, on will name Yasim, it means his omniscient God. Oh, Bibia, if you are seeing Lydia, or no book, we are seeing you from the beginning to the end. To a nun as a year who protect her, and as a year who shepherd her, who be in your cafe, you are safe. He will never lead you to any bad place. Now he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. If you watch this Fulani people, when they take their cattle and feed them and give them drink, then they make them sit down somewhere and rest. They give them food, give them water, and give them places to rest. When they are satisfied, So, obviously, we cannot go on forever and ever in such strenuous activities in this world. God guides us. He has time for us to work, has time for us to also rest. One of them is the Lord's Day, a day that He has given us to rest. And not only to rest, to worship Him. And He has promised to bless us on that day. Many people don't see the blessings in keeping the Lord's Day holy. When He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That day was there even before the Lord. That's why I say remember. Remember because it was there. Kai Humida. All the laws, He didn't say Kai. Or remember, it's only the Sabbath. But it's never ho and son of law cry ever. See, on my time to rest and time to bless us with His word. I think I've preached a sermon on this before, how to keep the Lord's Day. So in the same way as He's saying that He made me to lie down in sleep, and He gives Him time to rest after feeding them. So there are times that we leave the toil and the struggles of this world and then draw aside to rest. And how better to rest than to rest in God's house? Spend the whole day with God. That's why I'm happy with our church. It is easier to spend the Lord's Day in holiness than in other places. Because here, we come to church in the morning, we go home about an hour and a half, we come back for Sunday school, we stay till evening service. So by the time you go home in the evening, you have spent the whole day with the Lord. And what a blessing to spend your whole day with the Lord. He gives you time to rest. We on our own will never like to rest. I remember there were days, especially when we were in England, you want to work and work and work. And in England, when you work on Saturday, it's time and a half. When you work on Sunday, it's double. Even in some places, it's straight time, your rate. And people would like to work on Sunday because they want more money. But God knows why. He said, we need time to rest. Now, let's go on. He leads me beside the still waters. He said He leads me beside the still waters. And like I've already said, green pastures refers to provision. The sheep must be fed. There must be water there for them to drink. So the shepherd leads them where the rivers now flow. In the Old Testament, we have the picture of the shepherd watering his sheep. There are so many times that the Bible refers to the people watering their sheep. Remember Jacob? He found his wife watering her father's flocks. I'm sure you know about that story. The same with Moses. Moses found his wife who was also drawing water from the flocks of Jericho. So our shepherd leads his sheep to a place where they can get water to drink. Sometimes we worry ourselves over nothing. Because if you look at the Christian and his God, it will be like a father and a baby. But we rather want to struggle on our own instead of leaving everything in his hands, as he has said here. Then he said, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. This can have several meanings. Why is he saying that? Like I said, why is the shepherd dressed in such a way, with the cutlass, with the gun, with clubs, and so on? Why? Because there are enemies around. There are wild animals. There are human beings who want to steal them. So he has to protect them, to restore their, he wants to keep their lives. And that's what God does to us. He restores my soul. He keeps them from death, both physical and spiritual. The shepherd keeps the flock under his care, especially when they are not well, the very young ones. He keeps them under their arms and feed them and dress them, whatever they need to keep them safe. That is how he said to restore their souls. Now, we also get discouraged in our lives. Sometimes you are down. And friends, if you are a true, true Christian, the day or the time that you feel so much down, live for joy. There's some good news coming your way. As compared to times when life is, you are happy, 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 there could be another sad news coming. So, when you face, as you are going through life, when you are discouraged, when things are not going as you wish, who do you turn to? You have your shepherd to turn to. The same way as the flock had nowhere to turn to than their shepherd. The mechanic said, if you are away, no. The blessing of a privilege to pray to God alone is something that you must think about. When things are going on okay for you, sometimes you forget to pray. And it's true, it happens to everybody, even in an advanced Christian. Sometimes when there's no problem, like seemingly no physical problem, you don't even pray. No. When there's a problem, where it's such that you have nowhere to turn to. That's why he did the people from Egypt. He knew they could have passed through a way where they would meet the Red Sea. God knew. But why did he pass them there? The other way, they will go and meet the Philistines, who will fight them. And because of the fear of war, they will run back to Egypt. So what did God say? I will pass them through here. There they will come through the Red Sea, and there too they will see my house. So he took them there. And then when they go to the Red Sea, there's nothing they could do. The Red Sea is in front of you. Your enemies are coming from behind. What do you do? You see, you have nowhere to turn to than to God. And what did Moses do? Moses had to bow down and pray. And we saw what happened. How God opened the Red Sea. Moses had never, even though he knew God from all the powers that he displayed from Egypt, he never knew that God would part the sea away like this for over 2 million people to pass through. And that's how God showed his power. So God sometimes allows us to go through problems or discouragement, sicknesses, poverty, whatever it is that will draw you to him. All he wants is for you to come to him and ask him, and he will provide for you. So in this life, the Lord has intentionally made it a way that there will be problems. And when there are problems, we come to him. Then he said, he leads me in the path of righteousness. We all need guidance, as I've already said. You may never know the right thing to choose when you are given two things to choose from. You will never know the right one. You have to seek the guidance of God. As I've already told you, if the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire did not guide them, they would never have gotten to Canaan. And you saw that same pillar of cloud and same pillar of fire, which was a guide to them, a light to them, or darkness to their enemies. The same thing that was giving them light was darkness to their enemies. So you see that God gives us guidance. So he said, he leads me in the path of righteousness. And he goes on to say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why will he fear no evil? Because the Lord is with him. The Lord will be with you wherever you are. He said, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because he is with you. As I think, quoted something, but I can just tell you, and I've passed through a place like that before. I remember in England, there's a place where I was living in Bethlehem, and Bethlehem is on the outskirts of London. going to Kent is like between Kent and the city of London. There's a place called Bexley. And when you are going from Bexley, there's another town there, I've forgotten the name. You have to pass through some kind of forest, very thick forest, even though there's a way which you can go. But if you want to go through the forest, especially when in summertime, it's nice to walk through that forest. You go to a place where it is steep, and then you climb again, and then as soon as you come up, you are in Kent. And down there is so dark. When you get down there, and if it's just you alone, you will be afraid, because it's so quiet and dark. And as a parent gave a picture like that, a young man who used to come home on holiday, he was in school, and he comes on weekends to the family, and he had to travel through that way to the parents. And then he got to that place that I'm talking about, very, very dark and very, very fearful. Then as he was shivering, the father too knew, so the father had come to be there. He was hiding somewhere around that same place. So as he was shivering, then he heard the father's voice. And you can imagine, he never thought the father would be there, and the father was there. So he became himself again, and they embraced themselves and then walked with him. And that's how Christ is for us. When you are in the place where you fear, where there's nowhere to turn to, then you see, he said he will be with me. Yo, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Because he said, for you are with me. So the sheep will never fear any evil when the shepherd is with them. And the same thing with us. We'll never fear of any. Let people talk about what is happening in the world. Me, I've come to a state that I just listen to news. I'm not moved by the news. Even if, whatever it is, I know I can go to my father. I know I can never trust any politician. I can never trust anybody. I know I can trust my God. So whatever is happening on the news and television and everything that goes on, I just listen to it. But I know, if I fear of anything, I'll have to go to my father. And that's what it is as a Christian. You have your shepherd to go to. The same way as the flock will also go to the shepherd in every situation that they find themselves. Let me hurry up. I think my time is running out. And remember, in the Bible, there are so many areas where the Lord has said that, fear not, I am with you. And as soon as we hear this, all fear vanishes. As happened to the young man who was walking from Bexley to Kent. Fear not, your father is here. And that's what it is with us. Don't fear of anything. Don't fear of any situation once your father is with you. Then he goes on to say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You can imagine, apart from protecting you from your enemies, now he is even having a party for you in the presence of your enemies. So apart from say obo oho ban say the watamfo ntimi eminya won watamfo na nim kura so no or to party am. You can imagine having a party for you in the presence of your enemies. Your enemies, those who hate you, who want your downfall, who want to kill you. Now, in their presence, the party is being organized for you. Who will do this? Who can do this apart from Christ? The good shepherd. He doesn't just protect you from your enemies. He holds a party for you in their presence, for them to know the kind of person you are, who is behind you. If they think you are just an ordinary servant and they can just pass over you, now they know that you have God himself to be your shepherd. So he is protecting you. The good shepherd is a master of the world, stronger than all his enemies. He conquers all his enemies and is able to provide for his sheep in any place. He can provide for them in any place, even where their enemies is having a party for them. How much more if they are in their own homes? So it tells you what the good shepherd is to you and to me, if only our lives are in his hands. Then he said, my calf ran over. He's talking about the blessings that he receives from God. As I think also gave another illustration here. He said a friend who literally kept a daily bank account, book account with the Lord. He kept a book account with the Lord. On the one side, he put down all he did for God. And on the other side, he put down what the Lord did for him. For instance, if a friend helped him or cheer him, he put that down. Now, if he was sick and then was restored, he put it down. All favors and mercies he recorded. After a few weeks of the bookkeeping, he gave it up. Why did he give it up? He said, it is of no use. I can never get a balance. You see, he can never equal what the Lord does. He said, I am always helplessly, hopelessly in debt. And that's the story of every Christian. The divine goodness overflows. We can never equal what God can do for us. What he does for us is always overflowing. And that's what this man meant. Then he said, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He's saying that since he became a Christian, and even before, all the past has been goodness. All the future will also be goodness. So it's a goodness and loving kindness from God in all the days, the dark days and the days of pain, the days of disappointment, the days of sickness, the day when death comes to your home. In all of them, he said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. At every stage of my life, goodness and mercy shall follow me. That is what a Christian has. And then he goes on to say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Remember Psalm 121 when he said, I was happy when they said unto me, let's go into the... See, all the days of his life, goodness and loving kindness will follow him. And that is only the beginning. That is, he's talking about this world. What about when he leaves this world? Like I said, when the light of this world goes off, the light of the other world comes on. And that's where you go and meet the proper light with Christ himself, where you see Christ face to face. So when he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, he's saying that in this world, it is the beginning. All the goodness that he has talked about here is just the beginning. Now, he's going to dwell forever and ever with God in heaven. That is our last place that we are going. The same way other people of Israel left Egypt and they were going to Canaan, we have left our past life of evil, life of sin, into life of righteousness, and forever and ever going to be with Christ in heaven. But say, many Ewali Betina Ewo Edenina. The Dagana or Kano. The person dies or Christ comes, he never comes first. Then the next journey begins. The journey to be with the Lord forever and ever. So when he says, I'll be with you forever and ever, that is what it means. Now, why am I saying all these things? As I come to close, I'm going to read from John chapter 10, verse 10 and 11. Jesus said, the thief cometh not, but to steal and kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. You see what Christ describes in himself. Remember, I told you that we have two shepherds. He is the good shepherd. The other shepherd is the one that he came to steal and kill and to destroy our life. But Jesus came to lay down his life for the sheep. That is why he went to the cross of Calvary. and pay the price for our sin that lead us to be saved. He has done this for us. Friend, don't listen to people who are talking about deliverance and all. They are not true. They are all lies. Deliverance is what we are talking about. Being delivered from the power of sin and Satan to the life of righteousness, of holiness. That is deliverance. You are delivered once and for all. You are now living under Christ. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. So what do you need to be delivered from again? Now, you are left with the day where you will be with him forever and ever in heaven. So don't believe in people who say they are giving deliverance and people are paying money for. I don't know what they are delivering them from. It is sin that brought evil. Boni and a mouth. You have seen money. Are you coming now? Are you born into this? Are you free? Born in more? Are they beyond the visa? Are you free? Are they free? Are they part of what you are free? They are all lies. And the annoying thing is that the deliverance is also not done free. As there's nowhere when we were reading the Matthew 10:11, Christ said it was given to you free when he was selling the disciples. He said it was given to you free. So when you go, don't also ask for any money. Is that what people are doing now? The deliverance is free, and all the things, other things that they are doing, which are not necessary, they are also taking money from people. So those are the bad shepherds, the ones that Christ is describing. He said he came to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus came to lay down his life for his sheep. He went to the cross, he paid the price for our sin that leads to our destruction, and he took that destruction upon himself, and in his sacrifice for us as his sheep, he made abundant life possible for you and me. So we are going for abundant life. Not money, not businesses, not traveling abroad. No. Those are nothing. Even those who really worship idols, we have all these things. But when he's talking about abundant love, I'll quote one theologian, David Platt. He said, biblical Christianity is not letting go of all kinds of great things the world has to offer and setting for Jesus. No, it's letting go of lesser things in this world so that we might experience the abundance that Jesus wants to provide now and for all eternity. You see, it is not about worldly things. Abundant life in heaven is what Christ gives. He said Christ is not the good shepherd just because he came to gain sheep, but because he enables his sheep to flourish, find enjoyment, and experience his goodness. And Jesus wants you to have an abundant life. And that abundant life starts from now. Now that you give your life to him, and then he takes full control, and then peace and joy will be yours in this world, plus eternal life in heaven, where you live with God forever and ever. Friends, have we come to this realization? Have you come to a point in your life where you can put your hand in your chest and say, if I die today, I'm going to heaven? Have you gotten there? If you haven't, thank God that you are not dead. And also know that death can come at any time. Just last Friday, every Friday or Thursday when I was coming home, I met a couple of my former staff at NHI. And there's a man that I was very close to. He told me the man is dead. And he's a young man. He's about 30 years. I was surprised. What happened to him? He said, oh, they went to a funeral at the weekend. He was even serving them. They came back. And then Monday, he was in the office. Tuesday, he was in the office. Wednesday, he complained of headache. And Thursday, he's gone. And I remember this guy is a guy that most argued with me at NHI on scripture. And I remember at one time I was telling him, texting, do you know that you can die at any time? As if I knew that you can die at any time. He said, no, we don't talk about death. We don't talk about death. No, that guy is dead. I'm sure Ernest knows him. So friends, death is real. It can happen at any time. But are you ready? Are you ready to give up this life and follow Christ? Believe in him. Confess your sins to him. And he has said he will forgive you and give you. And all these benefits that you are talking about will be yours whilst you are in this world, plus eternal life in heaven. What can you compare with this? Christ said, if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, it is nothing. You must rather lose this wealth and gain your soul. That is the wisest thing to do. My prayer is that all of you will take this serious. Come to him, confess your sins to him, and ask him to forgive you. And he will, because he is a God who never lies.